Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, can the Prophet's youth years be taken as an example to youth today?
The life of Prophet Muhammad during prophethood is an example to millions across the globe and throughout time. But he had entered prophethood in his adult life and was previously raised in a humble home and experienced serious hardships. Despite this, his behavior, heavenly character, and speech made those around him during his youth call him As-Sadiq al-Amin, the truthful, trustworthy one. The young Muhammad, peace be upon him, had acquired knowledge of trade and business on the guidance of his uncle Abu Talib alayhi salam, and was entrusted as a mediator between businessmen. Like millions of orphans today, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had faced serious adversities in his youth as an orphan, but continued in his righteous ways. This week's Islam and Life asks, can the Prophet's youth years be taken as an example to youth today?
Indeed, very often when we speak about the Messenger, peace be upon him, we speak about the starting of the revelation and the whole prophethood when he was acknowledged by the people, and of course he received the revelation coming from God. But still, when we understand the very essence of who he was, we should come back to the very early years of his life, understanding that he was the chosen, he was al-Mukhtar, he was the chosen, and as it is said and we heard right now, he was As-Sadiq al-Amin. These were two important qualities, the trustworthy, the truthful, and this is important for us because when the people started to act against him when he was a messenger, peace be upon him, he had to come back and to remind them about who he was before, and they knew that he was truthful and he was trustworthy when he got the revelation. So it's part of his character that we find in the Quran, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that your character, the way you have been shaped, the way you have been chosen is based on ethics, is based on good behavior. And it might be that for today, our young Muslims should come back to this very early period to study it more, to get a better understanding of who he was before getting the revelation, in order today to behave in the right way. So all these questions about who he was and in way he was educated by the one, by Allah, by God, it's important for us today, and to try to answer these questions, it's important for us in order to get the very essence of the message. And to answer all these questions, I'm joined by Islamic lecturer Sheikh Muhammad Al-Hilli. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let me start with this. How much, in your view, this period before the revelation, it's important from an Islamic viewpoint, before he became the messenger and the last messenger, peace be upon him, still his youth and the way he was educated is critical. Why is it, and how do we have to deal with it as Muslims?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think it's important to understand that within Islamic teachings, the idea is given that the Almighty chooses and selects individuals to become his representatives on earth and to be a source of guidance for mankind. And for this to happen, they need to, in a way, gain the trust of the people. They need to be exemplary individuals. They need to be role models in aspects of life that human beings look up to others. And therefore, when it comes to the prophets of Allah, the prophets of God, especially the final and the greatest of them, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him and his holy progeny, we are told that he displayed these important qualities and characteristics that truly inspired others. Certainly from a young age, he was demonstrating this. Because if we think about it, if an individual who was amongst the community and the people would know this person as they knew the Holy Prophet, they knew who he was, they knew his family, they could see him rise amongst the Meccan society. If that individual, in a way, does not display the characteristics and the attributes and on the other side has some negative aspects associated with him, then when it comes to the call towards being followed, the call that he is a representative from God, you will not see the people flocking towards him or following him, or even very importantly, responding to his call for obedience. Because it's important, this idea of أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ, that this obedience of the Prophet. Today, when we are instructed to obey an authority, we either do it out of obligation, but in most cases, the true obedience comes from the heart. And today, the Prophet is loved and respected and revered and mentioned like no other human being in history.
This started before the revelation,
and
trusted and loved
before. This foundation,
yeah.
this essence of the character of the Prophet, it was placed well before in his youthful age. And this is a clear message for our youth today.
Yeah, so let us come to this, because this is the very topic of our program today. Is very often when we speak about the Prophet, we speak about him after he reached 40. Now we are talking about youth, and some of our young Muslims today, they are dealing with challenges. And what you are saying about the characteristics, the attitudes that he had before getting, it's what made him loved and trusted and followed by the people. What are these qualities? What is the message, or are the messages that we can get before he got the revelation that could be today useful for our young Muslims? If you want, let us start with what would be, in your view, the three main qualities that we can get in the pre-revelation stage.
First of all, the message for the youth is absolutely clear, that great individuals and successful human beings are made at their young age. So if a human being endeavors and strives and works hard from a young age to perfect themselves, to better themselves, to gain skills, to rise amongst the society in terms of offering services, certainly they will see this fruits later. And we see this with the Holy Prophet, in the sense that we see, for instance, at the tender age of 12, he came to his uncle Abu Talib and said, I want to join you on this particular journey that you take, the journey that the Quraysh would take during the winter and during the summer. So I want to go with you towards Sham, modern-day Syria, and I want to gain the skills necessary to learn business and the dealings and transactions. And this shows endeavor and vision from a young age. This was a 12-year-old boy who had gone through so much difficulty. By the age of 8, he had no father or no mother. And therefore, despite going through all the hardship, he did not allow or let this affect him in his goal, in his development. Because some of the youth today, they complain in certain parts of the world, we may be restricted in terms of freedom, or we may not have jobs, or we may not have, for instance, the ability to study. But this should not necessarily be a hindrance if a human being is dedicated and committed. And that's essentially what we get, the first point from the Prophet, this sheer
commitment
and motivation from a young age. The second element is the aspect that you alluded to, and that is the morality, the aspect to do with dealing with the other human beings. The fact that we are told that he was so inspiring for people that when this dispute happened in the Masjid al-Haram, the Grand Mosque of Kaaba, as to who will place the black stone, the Hajar al-Aswad, in its rightful location when the Kaaba was destroyed due to a flooding or some other reason. And when it was built, the Quraysh and the tribes were all disputing as to who will do this. And then they decided the first person who will walk into the mosque will then do so, will decide who will place the famous black stone. And of course, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, came inside, they were very happy to see that this person had come. They said, "Hada sadiqul amin," this is the trustworthy, the truthful one, therefore we will be happy whatever he says. And it would have been simple for you and I, for many people, to say, well, you have agreed, I will place this particular stone in this corner, and everything would be finished. But look at the political diplomacy and the vision that the Prophet had, as well as the idea of keeping the society harmonious and united in that sense. And therefore he would famously bring this piece of cloth and place the stone in the middle and ask the heads of the tribes to carry this and therefore take part in the whole process. The second idea was that he wasn't very narrow-minded in his thought. He wanted to utilize every opportunity for the betterment of the lives of others.
Something which is important in the second point that you are making here is there is an ethical ground, but at the same time there is something which is intelligence, is understanding who he was dealing with. And I think it's quite important for our young people also today to get these two knowledges, is grounded in ethical, it's the way you behave with your values, but at the same time to know and to try to understand the people you are living with. So, and this is very important for us when we live in the West. Sometimes we have people living outside asking our young people, you have to deal with the society, as if they were talking from another country. While it's important to give this sense of confidence to our youth, this is your society, deal with it, understand how it works, and when you understand how it works with morality, you can be an example.
Absolutely. And you see, the Quran tells us that the Prophet captured the hearts and minds of people exactly through this understanding how to deal with the different segments of society in their own way. We are told later on in Medina, there was a Bedouin who would come to the mosque of the Prophet, and because of his simple-minded nature, he would urinate inside the mosque. And some of the Sahaba would be angry, they would want to punish him, but the Prophet would say, no, we can wash the area and educate this person because of his level of understanding. And therefore, you see that particular idea that the Quran tells us, that if it wasn't for his soft nature, if it wasn't for his tender heart and his care for people, people would not have indeed become so inspired by him and come towards him.
Exactly, and this is coming from the very young age. It's not something that he got only after the revelation, but was confirmed by the revelation.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the third one.
Yes, that's certainly the third idea that is very much needs to be understood, and this is what you mentioned, the need for us to study the biography of the Prophet, not only after the age of 40, but from the birth until the 40. And it is said in historical narrations at the age of 20 approximately, the Prophet of Islam was very happy to take part in a treaty or a process or a very good method of protecting the oppressed and establishing justice, known as Hilful Fudul. Now, essentially what Hilful Fudul, for the respected viewers who have not come across this, was the idea that the tribes would come to Mecca and engage in business. They would sell and sometimes buy and so on. Yet there was no court. There was no system of establishing, for instance, or helping those who have been mistreated or dealt with unfairly. And what the Prophet of Islam took part is a group of youth who came together and presented this pact and this agreement that the people who would come and would take part in this particular process, they would be protected. And this whole idea started off by one tribe or one person from a tribe in Yemen came, and he had to get some money from Abu Jahl, and Abu Jahl would not give him what he needed to, and therefore he made this call. The Prophet of Islam, during later on his life, he would always be happy when referring to this particular pact, Hilful Fudul. He'd say, if I was offered 100 red camels to dissociate myself and not to take part in this particular treaty, I would never have taken this particular offer because of the fact that he sought justice. This establishment of justice from a young age that the youth around the world can see today, that if they see oppression, they see injustice, if they are able to change it through the writing, through the pen, through the voice, through any particular action, peaceful action, then this particular example of the Prophet surely should act as an exemplary one for them.
I think what is important in what's saying is that adding to the qualities that we are talking about, here there is another one which is very important, is the ethical, first the ethical ground, the second is understanding people, and then it comes with principles and courage, because at the end is, you know, standing for your the what is right. But what also you said to this is sometimes when we study the life of the Messenger, peace be upon him, and we got some of the principles that he was supporting before getting the revelation. In fact, the revelation came to confirm that justice is justice, and even before. And meaning also that for our young Muslims living in the West, for example, sometimes they deal with people of other faiths, but they see in them justice. Mm. And we have to acknowledge this, that justice is justice. It's not, there is not Absolutely. An Islamic justice versus a non-Islamic justice.
It's a universal principle.
Exactly. And this is what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said by saying, if I was to come back to this, I would come to this because this was right. So I think that this is also the universal dimension of Islam that is very important. And I would say today in the West, we need to get this understanding that what came before the revelation is also helping us to get the very essence of the universal dimension of Islam, because he was born as a human being and then as a messenger, and the messenger is taking from humanity what is right. So I think that if we have to push this, if now we have to take this and now, in which way you would push this understanding and this teaching?
Yes, I think one thing that we have to encourage our youth to appreciate is that when they read the story and the narrative and the biography of the Holy Prophet, there needs to be a lot of reflection and contemplation. The Quran tells the Muslims that every story that is mentioned, every narrative, acts as a bridge, ibrah, for us to be able to really transform ourselves from our lifestyle to how they lived and what lessons are there for us to apply in our lives. The Prophet of Islam, peace and blessings be upon him and his holy progeny, what he did was he utilized time. So he was very effective in time management at a young age. And this is unfortunately a problem that the youth suffer around the world. There is a lot of procrastination. Mm. There is a lot of wasting time. There is a lot of laziness in activities, excessive sleep sometimes. We are using social networking 24 hours of the day and not having a clear plan of what I want to do, where I want to reach. And what is, of course, established, and one of the ideas that is presented, is that the Prophet of Islam, indeed his spirituality, his relationship with his Lord, was founded on his early years. In the sense, his deep meditation, his contemplation, his reflection about the creation of the heavens and the existence of the Almighty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a great lesson for our youth. That unfortunately today, when you speak to our youth today about spirituality, about the need to strengthen one's faith, about the need to excel and purify oneself from within, from the heart, they say, well, this is something maybe at a later stage in my life. Yeah. Now I want to establish myself as far as a career is concerned. Now I want to have a family. And later on when I'm older, this is the vision, the stereotype that is given, that an elderly individual will go to the mosque, will attend the prayers, will be active in society because they have less responsibilities, their mortgage is paid off, and everything else is fine. Whereas the problem, of course, is that the spiritual elevation must start from a young age, because we have a heart which is uncultivated. And this, if it is not shown the right path, or if it is not led towards the right way, it will then be taken towards the other side. And God forbid, there are youth today, unfortunately, who have gone astray simply because they have ignored this important element in the life of the Holy Prophet, spirituality at a young age.
Yes, and something which is important, which is confirmed now by scientific discoveries, is that even in the field of education, as you know, you would say your heart is like a muscle, you have to train your heart, it starts very early, and this is where it's quite important. But you said something which is essential in any way, in all the ways we deal with the revelation and with the Prophet's life, peace be upon him. You said something which is exactly what sometimes we find when we are dealing with youth and young people, is don't waste time, but be patient at the same time. Is don't waste time by doing, you know, and doing things that are you are forgetting yourself, but at the same time be patient. And when we come back to the Prophet, peace be upon him, we can see this from the very beginning, is that we need time. He started to the revelation, he was 40. And then it's a long process and a long dedication. And then at the same time, while you are patient, you are very strict with time. And how would you, can you say more about this relationship with time? Because today, progress, contemporary world, is all about time is flying. Time, we don't have time.
We all know that the Quran, for instance, wears by time, wal asr.
Yeah.
And that's important for us to appreciate that every moment of our lives is like a gold coin that has to be preserved and looked after. Because as Muslims, we are told that on the Day of Judgment, we will be held accountable for the way we have spent our time.
Yeah.
And of course, the Prophet himself, peace and blessings be upon him, says that that one of the aspects that the human being will be questioned on the Day of Judgment is their youth, how they spent their youth. And therefore, what is required today really from our youth is to appreciate that this time that they have, in essence, doesn't really belong to themselves. Because when you speak to youth, and I've had conversations with many youth, you say to them, why are you wasting your time? You have several months in the summer, for instance. You have the weekend, you have several. Why are you just sitting idle? Or you sit there with your friends and you are conversing and chatting for no purpose whatsoever for many hours. And there is no problem socializing and engaging, but when it gets excessive, it becomes something which is wastage of resources. And the response is, you know what, it's my time, I can do whatever I like with it. And that's a very false notion, a false understanding that indeed they have been given a set period of time in this world, in this life, and their youthful age is the youth age of productivity. Is the age where they can really excel and become efficient in whatever they want to do. The energy is great. I always tell my brothers and sisters, the youth, when I speak to them, as hopefully one of them, I say to them that, for instance, when it comes to the pilgrimage, the Hajj, go when you're younger. Gain the strength. Don't leave it later. It's for the elders. It's very important that we do this at a young age.
Thank you so much. I think that listening to you, it's quite important in the way we understand this period of time and some of the characteristics that you were mentioning. The first one is commitment, is to decide for yourself if you want to make something out of your life. It's a decision that you can take very early. The second, what you were saying, it's also very important to have this kind of courage and this kind of commitment to principles and to have this ethical ground while at the same time knowing the people and getting a sense of, and this is where the young people living wherever they are living should understand that this knowledge of the people is very important. Courage is a very important one also, and spirituality. Spirituality doesn't start when you reach 40. It's something that has to do, you have to deal with when you are very young and starting to exercise. And the last point that you made, which is very important, is the relationship with time. Don't waste time, but at the same time, don't be in a hurry. Just be patient and try to deal with time, to educate yourself. It takes time, it takes effort. And what you ended with, it's very essential in anything which has to do with spirituality and in the light of the Prophet's life. Thank you for that. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen. And here is the way to contact us.
Islam and Life welcomes your opinion. So please send us your suggestions as well as criticism on any of the shows you have seen or you would like to see. You can do all this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also be part of our online platform by joining our Facebook page, Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage with debate, and view past shows.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Sheikh Mohammed Al-Halli. Thank you so much for your presence and your insight. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.